tired of the killing. It has to stop. We're going to drive gun violence out of our neighborhoods.
It traumatizes us. When you constantly seeing death, you really don't care.
Black men don't come up and just say I'm evil. It got to be you did something to me.
Chris Ranji, Amy Mark scores with you. And what you were hearing is part of the documentary of Catching Bullets. And it's an incredibly moving story. And right now, we're honored to welcome in Darren Seals, who is a community leader with the Sankofa Unity Center. And this documentary chronicles Darren's life. And he joins us this morning. Darren, thank you so much.
Yes, glad to have you.
And your documentary, want to let people know, it premieres August 14th in Pagedale at the 24-1 Theater, and it will be in there at least for several weeks,
yes,
right,
yes.
On August 14th.
If we pack it, it might be in there an extra 2 months, something like that. Okay. But Friday, it shows on Tubi.
All right.
So the idea behind the documentary, where did it start, and did it turn into what it was supposed to turn into when you started it?
When we first started, it was just I wanted to have some footage about me, the way I mentor. I mentor differently. I mentor like your grandmom, you say, don't touch that stove, it's hot. So that's how I mentor. So, you know, like my mentor taught me to say, listen. So I was trying to get these kids, a group of kids, listen. So the first batch, they went back into the streets. But this other batch came in, it was something about Tink. Tink was a different type of kid. He was a kid that I saw that he wanted it. He wanted success, but he wanted it from a different type of way. So he was like right on the edge of the fence.
And Tink was one of the kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tink, one of the main characters.
We were talking before we came back just now, just during the commercial break. And you were saying, you know, years ago in St. Louis, you know, kids were playing outside. They were playing ball. They were playing hide and seek. You don't see that as much anymore, and how you want to continue to push the city forward. You want to change lives. Can you kind of set the table on what motivated you to do that?
Well, you know, I got tired. And, you know, I don't have my story. You can look on YouTube and everything. Once a man get, you know, that the end might happen, all my friends was passing away. So I was like, nah. Then I go to a funeral and somebody be, well, he did this, he did that. And I'm like, no, I want to tell my own story. So I started writing. And so I always want somebody, like I wrote a book, it's called Revelations of a Hustler. I wrote that in 1998. So that was my obituary. So I said, I don't want nobody telling my story. And then my mom used to always say, get up out the streets. But she didn't understand. I was part of something that was bigger than what she can say. She can tell me to get out the streets. I'm like, no, I'm making money. I'm having fun. The rush. And so I got tired, and I walked up in a church that I bought, turned it to a youth center, and dropped my bulletproof vest and my gun at the altar and never looked back.
Was that hard for you to do? Because you've got friends and people that are, you know, your peers, and they're all involved. So was it difficult for you to say, I'm not going to do that anymore?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, when you walk away from something, it's an image you got to uphold. And if that image is more like you become a trophy, right, John? It's like a trophy where he got his guards down. I can get clout if I come at him. You know, so I was like, I really didn't care because my mom told me, bury me, don't let me bury you. So that stuck to my heart. And so when I finally walked away, I didn't owe nobody nothing. I just wanted peace. And it's kind of hard to get peace when you surrounded by the crime. You know, I call it the dinner table among thieves. That's the one in Park. And that's probably one of the craziest neighborhoods you ever can grow up in.
Yeah, you tell that story, as you mentioned, putting your gun and bulletproof vest down because you had made a name for yourself in Walnut Park, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm not going to live this life anymore. How do you just have that sudden transformation? Okay. I mean, that's a 180 going the opposite direction.
Okay, probably like 2 weeks before then, I was getting shot at back and forth. Like every time I come out the house, I had to carry a gun. So you got to understand, me playing softball for rec, I used to have on a bulletproof vest and go up to bat with a gun on my side. Wow. That's no way to live. So a couple of times, I was like, man, he almost got me. then I go to my mom and have me and my mom just have these deep conversations. You know, say the Lord got a special calling for you. And I'm like, hey, Mom, but if it's a God, I'm keep getting shot. You know, you're talking about 13 bullets. You know, so I was escaping. But then Ted Foster, he said, either you're going to walk in or they're going to roll you in. And that stuck with me, too. So I wasn't a kid that didn't listen. You know, like John will tell you, I always listen to anybody that been there in the game that know. You know, you got to look at this man been in locked up for, what, 20?
30 years.
30 years. And he come home. Because he met me through somebody else. And when he came home, he saw me want to change. So he was like, well, I'm going to help out. So he started coming around. I said, man, can you mentor me? Because he knew what I was facing. He knew the trials and tribulation that's going to be ahead, judgment, how people going to look at me and say, you know what? Enough is enough. So
is what the community needs, and in particular young people, is it more mentors? Is it more people like you? Or is it something beyond that?
It's something beyond that. I'm just a small part to it. It's more like if you get a kid and he has no father figure, but every day he sees a guy shooting dice, he sees all the excitement in the neighborhood, that's not coming to the eye and say, don't do that. That's like a video game now. That's why they got, what's the video game where they shooting and all this other stuff?
Call of Duty.
Yeah, Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So now, let's say that's in the Warner Park. The Call of Duty is not the shooting, it's the excitement. Mm. These little kids getting behind the rush and not saying that, this is it. It's no reset button. Like on the game, you get reset. There's no reset on this. So if you don't have nobody coming saying, stop, go this route, then ain't nobody telling because the father's out of the household. Mom working 2-3 jobs. I'm at work. I mean, like, I'm speaking as a mom. Mom, I'm at work from 5 o'clock to 11 o'clock. That kid going to that rush, it's a magnet that it's like me. I was trying to build a name.
Nowhere else for him to go.
Right. No, it's no youth centers over there. It's no, like, Matthew Dickey there, but we couldn't go to Matthew Dickey. So now these days, they build one on West Florissant. They still can't go over there now. So they trapped in a zone where if getting shot is more like a diploma, a degree. You know, I've been shot. No, they don't understand getting shot like me. I pay for it every day.
Is it, like you said, like a degree? Is it a sense of belonging, in a sense?
Like you've earned something?
Yeah. It's more like a rite of passage.
Yeah.
We believe, coming up in our neighborhoods, that our way to manhood is through violence. We have to prove that we're tough. We're the bad guy. That makes us a man.
And John, and I don't want to talk out of school, you said you were incarcerated?
30 years. For 30 I did 30 years. Calendar years in federal prison.
And then how did you meet Darren?
I heard about Darren. I've been back here 9 years, okay? And I heard about his program and what he was doing. He's like a godsend. He's what we need. We're products of our environment. If we're taught to make a living a certain way, such as maybe gambling, robbing, selling drugs, those are the things that we pursue. If we're taught we can become lawyers, doctors, we'll pursue that also. And we have to see examples of those successes. So we're basically, I'm a statistic. My son is a statistic. We're not bad people. We're not inherently bad. We made all the wrong choices because we didn't see the right ones.
Right. We've left with that.
So, because I mean, you'll have people listening to what you're saying, and they'll just say, well, you know what? Don't live that life. Just don't do that. Why is it not that easy? Why is it not that easy to just not live like that?
It's an ultimate rush. If you've never been in it, you couldn't understand it. Do I go to work to make minimum wages? Or do I go on the block and make me $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a night? So it's more like I'm the man. So it's basically like one drug dealer get killed, the next one got to step up, and then the next one step up. So it's like I want to be something I have no understanding of. I always use the example, Scarface is probably one of the number one movies America will ever make. But I watched it over 10,000 times. But what happened to him at the end of the movie? He get killed. I wanted to be Scarface. Everybody loved the story about Scarface, but forget, dummy, he got killed at the end of the movie. So with that being said, I wanted to, my story to end different from that. I wanted to give back. So Sankofa means you have to go back to the beginning. So I had stopped. I went back to the beginning. What made me want to do this? My father worked at McDonald's Douglas. My mother worked at Southwestern Bell. I never wanted for nothing. Why did I go that route? So I started knowing it's the community. So as I got deeper off into my mentor, it's not about somebody just hustling and selling drugs. It was the trauma. Trauma hits in every household. And once that trauma hit in every household, because every kid come to me, it's a problem. Like I said in the beginning of the film, we just don't go out and create violence.
It becomes a way of life.
Right. I never went out and say, give it up. I never did that. You more like, man, I'm hungry. I got to eat. I ain't got no shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine a kid coming to school with holes in the shoes. What's going to happen? They're going to talk about them. They're going to dog them out. They're going to bully them. So you mean somebody get 2-3 pairs of shoes hustling? Then there it go. So once you get a taste of it, but.
We were talking to a guest we've had before who looks at a violent crime and said that kids who grow up in neighborhoods with a lot of violent crime have higher rates of PTSD than returning veterans of war.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. That's true.
And how that just changes who you are or what you think your trajectory will be until someone like a mentor can help pull you out of it. Like, do you need help being pulled out of that mentality? Or
all you need to do is understand it.
Yeah.
And usually experience helps you understand it. Until you had the experience, it's all a fantasy. It's all glory.
I know in the Catching Bullets documentary, the story also follows Preston, who's the 18-year-old son of your late friend.
Mm-hmm.
What is your relationship with Preston, and what does that story follow?
Well, Preston came to me, and I fell in love with him the first time I met him. And then I kept telling him, I said, man, I'm doing a documentary about my life. I want you to play it because we kind of favored each other. We kind of favored each other coming up. Then he had the heart. He wanted it so bad. I'm like, man, you like me? Because, you know, couldn't tell him nothing. But he wasn't a bad kid. Preston was the type of kid where you can adopt him and say, okay, he did understand. But I always say God give you two things. He give you a choice and a chance. It was just he wanted a different life real quick. Same as me. He got addicted to it. Not that he messed with any drugs. Addiction meaning I want to have a better life. And like he said, if he's sitting right there, I ain't got no choice to try to get it. If I moved in Chesterfield, you would be talking about I got a PhD.
Yeah.
I'd be a lawyer right now. I'd be a professional baseball player. But when you're in the neighborhood that's surrounded by violence, then it attracts you. And it's the ultimate track where what is a man to gain the whole world just to lose his soul? But if you know tomorrow is not promised, if a kid get taught like he teaches me, you got to look at reality and you got to reach out and try to go get it. Why do we got to lose so many young men? Because nobody understands. We get 1,000 organizations. So now I start figuring out when Ben approached me, I was like, you think you can change this to a movie? He's like, I don't know. Let's just shoot for it. I wanted this to be a success story with Tink. He was in the bottom of the gutter. And now I was pushing him to be greatness. But it flipped. And so now we had to come another route. But it's like a mother's at that front row is the worst nightmare. And I try to tell every kid, and through the movie, I want you to understand that what you want, you ain't got to have. You have to work hard for it. And the name, I don't know how we came up with the name, I guess by me being shot up and being just say Catching Bullets. I'm like, whoa, that's a name. So now we getting ready for Catching Bullets, The Revelations. So that's going to be about strictly my life.
Catching Bullets is premiering August 14th at 7 o'clock at 24-1 Theater in Pagedale. So at least a couple of weeks it'll be there, maybe longer, depending on how it goes. Are you hoping that it gets distributed more than... Is it just going to be at this theater to start, and then hopefully other platforms people can see it?
I think other platforms, they're going to grab it up, because it's an interesting... Yeah. Story. If you saw the plot of it, it's an interesting story where the hero is a different type of hero. Even though they look at me as the hero, I'm in that part too. But when they told me that Tubi wanted it,
yeah,
I'm like, whoa, that's big.
Yeah,
you know, I can just sit back at the TV and push a button and yeah. I see myself.
People can see it for free then, right? If it's on Tubi,
right.
Isn't that right?
They can see it for free, yeah. But it's nothing like the premiere.
You right, know, right.
And the support. I think a lot of folks,
you want to do the support.
A lot of folks should come out so we can push it to other neighborhoods. You know, I'm tired of when I hear people talking about, well, my son, he in college, it ain't gonna happen to him. But that shooter might hurt your grandbaby 10 years from now.
Right.
So it's like smallpox. Smallpox went. So somebody came over with a vaccination. Now, we don't worry about smallpox, right? But it's still here.
Yeah.
Just a different name. So violence in a different name is gonna keep coming.
Darren, John, we appreciate the two of you guys coming in. Thank you for talking about this with us. And we encourage everybody to go. August 14th is the premiere, 7 o'clock, 24-1 Theater in Pagedale. It's called Catching Bullets,
documentary
featuring Darren Seals. Thank you for coming in and telling us about it.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you for having us.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.